Hey, Bird.
Okay, here we are. It is Birdhouse time, 11:35 on your Wednesday morning. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren, no Corby today. We're going to jump into your lunchtime here in about 15 minutes. A little World Baseball Classic. Corby is out. And we ask that your questions be sent on Twitter. At Invasion 9 till 1 is the show Twitter handle. And you can also find Donnie and I on Twitter at McMatt Radio at Great Donovan. But I believe we do have some questions.
Are you doing this or is killer?
You want me to do this?
Yeah, you can read them.
Okay. All right, well, we'll start off here. Arizona fan. This is from Eric Brooks. He's an Arizona fan. He admits it. He admits that this is the first time in a long time that he's not filling out a bracket for March Madness. Do you think he's going to have more fun or less fun by not doing so?
Probably more fun. Because you end up... Upsets are awesome to watch, but when you fill out a bracket, if it's not the upset that you picked, you get irritated. Like, oh, that's not the one
right,
I have.
Right, right. I think you'll have more fun.
But
you celebrate every time you get one right. You're
But more often than not, you're not getting them right.
And the first round, you get more right than you get wrong.
Usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
So the first day, you're like, really good. And let's be honest, until like the last weekend, the second week, you're kind of like, you're out of it anyways.
That's the whole point, because you're out of it, and then you filled out one, and now you're all upset because your bracket sucked.
I mean, it's about the first 2 days. It's about Thursday and Friday. That's when everybody wants the upsets to happen. That's when you want to see it. By the time you get to the Sweet 16, I don't know that many people care about the Sweet 16, honestly, as much as they do tomorrow and Friday, just because of the volume of games and the idea that you may see the crazy random school upset, like high point, upset Wisconsin.
No, you're right. It's so much to consume early on that I think that's what intrigues or gets everyone to pay a lot of attention. But man, even if you're talking about filling out a bracket, people will start over and say, all right, here's a Sweet 16 bracket. You can fill that out. And then you're still worried about who you picked and not actually the basketball that's happening. You're just mad because two teams you don't care about, because you picked one. That's the reason you want them to win.
Right. Correct. So I do think,
I'm not filling out a bracket now.
I used to fill out.
I already did. Now I'm kind of, but I didn't keep a copy of it.
Yeah,
so I don't
no
even
idea
know
what I
picked
put
anymore.
I don't even care. I'll get the update from it, Beck, whatever.
And I don't, if I fill out more than one, because I have a buddy of mine, really good buddy of mine, that runs one every year. And the first year I was in that one, I won it. So now I'm playing with house money. I've been playing with house money the whole time. So I usually do like two completely different ones. So I will forget what I did, so I won't pay attention. And I think that helps me out a lot.
Okay.
Because if I just filled out one, I would have that sucker pinned to my walls, and I'll walk by it every single time after every game to check and see how I did. But with the, if I fill out two or three, I don't know. I'm just doing whatever. Who cares?
Man, I used to fill out, I don't even know how many, just because it's fun to fill out a bracket and you'd see what would happen. But now I'll do the one and probably just be I'm done. And I barely picked any upsets because last year was almost straight
chalk.
Now it's
going to be different. Now I'm going to pick all upsets.
Do it. Pick all six teams to advance to the Final Four.
Okay.
All right. Black Fred Flintstone wants to know.
Man, you paused and said that with your chest too, man. Black!
Between that and the market, really,
I know. What's going on with you today?
If a video of Fernando Mendoza wearing a gas mask bong and a bottle of Puff Daddy baby oil dropped before the draft and he slid to draft pick number 12, you think Jerry would take him?
It's a nod of the tip of the cap to Laramie Tunzel that happened to.
He wouldn't get to 12.
No. He wouldn't get to 12, nor would the Cowboys take him.
I would love to know what could happen for Mendoza to get to 12. What would he have to do?
If that happened, the Cowboys would trade all kinds of stuff to trade back to the team that jumped up for Mendoza. Because some team like, oh my God, I can't believe he's there at 12. And it would make no sense to draft Mendoza at this point, because you got to eat too much cap with Dak. It makes no sense.
What if you just have him sit for 2 or 3 years, like they did with Aaron Rodgers and like they did with Jordan Love?
I guess you'll have
your quarterback right there ready to go.
Then you should have gone out and spent way more money in free agency on defensive players, because now you do not have anybody. I guess at pick 20, you can hope that you get a defensive player. But you just, I mean, honestly, the Cowboys aren't in a position where they have a surplus to be able to sit a dude for 3 years with a first-round pick.
It'll be like, I mean, draft day.
Sam Howell. They can do anything.
It'll be like the movie Draft Day. Someone would get on their jet, and they'll be back at their home base before pick four.
Most ridiculous movie ever.
Did anyone go to his birthday party?
I know. That's what we need to ask. That's a really good question.
Why did anybody go to your birthday party?
Man, it was, I mean, laugh out loud moment when the owner of Cleveland, who was at Madison Square Garden,
right,
got was to Cleveland. Back in Cleveland before pick like three or four.
In essentially 14 minutes.
What are you doing? I don't care if they had 15 minutes between each selection. That's the quickest ride to the airport, hop on a jet, take off, land, get in the car, go back to your facility, and you're, what the hell are you doing? Hang on, we're almost on the clock. Like, what?
Why did you do that?
God,
nobody
so
went to his birthday
funny.
Party. What? His birthday party. Why didn't anybody go? Tatanka.
All right, Justin wants to know, Matt, which was better meeting Pat Green or Troy Aikman? Which one made your pants go crazier? And Donovan, which one between you would be Spinderella or Kid?
Interesting.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'd probably say Spinderella.
He's listening. Be careful.
No.
He's
Kid
got a
is
new
great.
Heart.
I was very nervous when I met Kid. As a matter of fact, the first time we met him in person.
He was too. His heart failed on him.
First time we met him in person, I went to go pick him up because he was doing comedy at the in Addison somewhere, North Dallas. I can't remember where he was. But then I had to pick him up and I drove him back and then drove him back to his place. And then his song came on satellite radio when he was in the car. And I was nervous.
Were you
really nervous?
Just kind of looking over at him and mouthing every single word.
No. I turned it up a bit, and he was like, you got to be kidding me.
And no, sorry, kinda, sorry, Mr. Kid.
We
sorry,
had a pretty big
sorry,
laugh,
sorry, Mr. Christopher.
Laugh about that. But, yeah, when Spinderella was a birthday guest, and then the first time she rolled in the studio, yeah, I would say Spin.
Okay.
Mine is probably Pat Green, for sure, but just because I don't know why, but most of the athletes that we meet, even meeting, because at this point I've met at some point in doing this the last 17 years, whatever it's been now, it's you meet a lot of athletes. So it's not weird that you meet, like I've talked to Emmett a handful of times, or Michael Irvin. That was the first time I'd ever met Troy in person. But I don't know why. I guess like with this job, that it's almost like the athlete is not, like you, not that you expect to meet every athlete ever, but it just kind of is tied in. So when you get to meet somebody like Pat, where Pat Green, who I will talk to Pat Green away from the show. So it's in a totally different setting. And now somebody whose music was so intertwined with so many of my personal memories is a lot different, I guess.
Yeah, I think the only athlete that I was about to pass out when I met, of course, was Randall Cunningham. And it's obvious that was my guy. But I'm kind of with you. Like, there are other people that you're pretty excited about meeting or you get to talk to. And once they walk over, it's like, okay, it's just kind of a dude. But when it comes to, I don't know, music or actors or something, like, it feels like that's different.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but yeah, it is that. Like, anytime we're out, Super Bowl week used to be more so than it is now, but you'd see all these actors walking around. And hell, I remember one time I go to the bathroom and at the urinal next to me is Luke Wilson. You know, you look over, you're like, you know,
that's holy. Nice.
Yeah. And I said, man, I don't want to talk to him while we're peeing, but you know, I was done before him, and I go, I couldn't help myself. Where I go, love Bottle Rocket, man. And he was looking at me and goes, thanks, dude. And that was cool, you know, because if it was an athlete, I'd probably be like, eh, whatever. I don't know why. I like, if Troy Aikman had been taking a pee next to me, I don't think I would have said anything to him.
Boy, that's, you know what? I think you may be right about that, and yeah. I don't know why that is.
I cannot explain it. I don't know.
Huh. I know that for me, the most nervous I've ever been was not this past one, but the Super Bowl before in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And when we had Kenny Chesney on.
Okay, yeah.
I had to go get him and bring him over to our table. And when I went to go get him, he was eating and they had me sit down with him. And he's having a full-on conversation with me and stuff. I was so nervous. I was pretty much sure I was leaving a puddle in the chair I was in. I didn't know what to do.
Wow, interesting.
Like, I was freaking out because it's Kenny Chesney. Either you like his music or not, you know he's a big mega music star out there. And it was kind of just...
What if he was a mega move star? And he just got up on stage and he was like the world-renowned... And he just sang in cow.
But it's just a terrible way to make a living. I don't know how that would just go over so well. That would be really weird.
That would be really, really weird.
It is wild that all three, it's a musical act and not an athlete. Because Dirk probably freaked me out a bit because I loved him.
Yeah,
and that's my favorite
Dirk
athlete.
Was cool.
Yeah, meeting him for the first time. But then, you know, you've seen him so many more times afterwards, and it feels weird to say that you were even nervous to meet him the first time because he's so nice.
And again, there's something to it, I think, where we talk about sports for a living. That, at the core of this job, that's what it is. We watch all the games. And so, honestly, like Pat Green, there's really no reason to meet Pat Green. It just is, he happens to be a P1 and listens all the time. So it just seems outside of the realm of that makes sense to me anyway.
I'm really excited to see how Matt acts next Thursday.
Well, I've gotten to know him a lot better, so it's a little different.
Yeah, but you're not just meeting him someplace. You're going to Pat Green's house.
I know.
His home.
So hopefully he's unaware how many guitars he has. So when a couple go missing.
There's no way you're going to take one.
I'm not going to do anything. Come on. That's theft. I'm not a thief. Unless it's your heart. Hey, baby.
Oh, gosh. What a terrible line
horrible.
That is.
You don't like that one?
No, it's bad.
Yeah, try it.
That was really bad.
Should I try something else?
Yeah, you should try something else. What you got?
Not now, though. Okay. Think about it. Please think on it.